Hello from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is an English language and American culture online presentation. My name is Nigel Kaplan, and I'm an English as a second language specialist here at the Writing Center. Welcome. This presentation is about paraphrasing and avoiding plagiarism, and is suitable for all international students. This is a pilot, which means it's an experiment. At the end of the presentation, please take a minute to complete an online evaluation. You'll get a web link at the end. This will help us design more online services in the future. First, let me take a minute to explain the screen. In the middle, you can see my PowerPoint slides. I recommend that you click the Zoom button now. That's in the top right corner. If you click Zoom, you'll make the text bigger and the video a little smaller. Underneath the video, you can see a pause button in the control bar. Use this button to stop the video, and you'll use the same button to restart it. You'll need this later if you want to try the practice activity. In the control bar as well, you can change the volume and you can also move to different parts of the presentation. Under the control bar, there is a list, an outline, a list of all the slides in the presentation. If you double-click on a slide, you'll be taken directly to that part of today's workshop. So let's get started with today's topic, paraphrasing and plagiarism. If you're studying at UNC or any US university, these are essential ideas to understand, or you could find yourself in quite a lot of trouble. The presentation today is in three parts. First, I'll talk about how to use sources correctly by paraphrasing and not plagiarizing. Then we'll look at what makes a good paraphrase. And finally, I have a practice activity for you to try. But let's start with some definitions. Okay, these are different ways you can use sources in your own writing. So the first way is a quotation or a quote. That's the exact words of another author, from a book, an article, a lecture, website, anything. Now, when you use quotations, you must use quotation marks to show that these are not your own words. Okay. On the other hand, a paraphrase is when you take the idea from another author, but you rewrite it completely in your own words. We'll talk more about paraphrasing in just a minute. A summary is a bit different. It's similar to a paraphrase, but it's different because you summarize only the main ideas. In a paraphrase, you paraphrase everything. Now, and this is really important, whenever you use a quotation, a paraphrase, or a summary, when you use any reference to source, you must include the citation. Okay, in American English, the citation, it means the source, where you found the quotation, the paraphrase, or the summary. Sometimes the citation is going to be a parenthesis with the author's name and year. Sometimes it will be the page number, sometimes a footnote. It depends on the style guide for your field of study. And you need to make sure you know what your style guide is. More on that later. Finally, at the end of the paper, you usually have a complete list of your sources, a list of references or works cited. And again, your style guide will tell you how to do that. But why is all this important? Well, if you don't use quotation marks correctly, or you don't paraphrase correctly, or you don't give the correct citation, then you could be guilty of plagiarism. Okay, as you can see, plagiarism is a bad thing. You don't want this. However, it is also cultural. What I mean is that plagiarism could have a slightly different meaning here in the US than it does in your home country. In America, plagiarism is considered a form of academic dishonesty. It's viewed extremely seriously here. I can't stress this enough. This is a serious problem. Just to give you an example, the standard punishment for plagiarism here at UNC is a failing grade, an F grade in the course, and a one semester suspension. And that's very, very serious. That's for graduates and undergraduates, for everyone. You really don't want to get into that. So let's talk about how to avoid it. Well, first though, we should talk about what exactly plagiarism is, and then we'll talk about how you can avoid it. At UNC, plagiarism is defined as, and I quote, the deliberate or reckless representation of another's words, thoughts, or ideas as one's own without attribution, that means the citation, in connection with submission of academic work, graded or otherwise. In other words, every time you use the words or ideas of another person, you must make it clear that they are not your own, and you must tell the reader where you found the idea or words. In some cultures, it's not necessary to attribute famous sayings or important ideas. You can expect the reader to know your source. But American academic culture is different. As a writer, you are responsible for separating your work from other people's and for identifying your sources. And remember, that includes ideas, not just direct quotations. This has something to do, perhaps, with the American value of individualism. Americans believe, I think, that writers create their own text, and so the words, in some sense, belong to them. If you take other people's words or ideas, you are stealing them, and that's how it would be treated by the UNC honor system. I don't want to scare you. The good news is you can learn how to avoid plagiarism. Let me just show you, there we go, let me show you how important sources are in academic writing. What you're looking at is a table of the average number of citations, the average number of references per paper in a number of different disciplines, okay, from sociology there down to physics. Now, as you can see, most academic writers use dozens of references every time they write. Even physicists and engineers have to cite sometimes, and they don't cite as much as biologists or people in the social sciences, but everyone has to use sources. Now, I'm citing a piece of research here which also shows that quotations are very rare. Okay, when people cite sources, they don't use quotations. In fact, in the sciences, most writers never use quotations. What that means is that we rely on paraphrase and summary, rewriting ideas in your own words. This can be very hard, especially in a second language. I understand this, but with practice, you can learn how to write a good paraphrase, and as you've seen, it really is essential. So what is a good paraphrase? Well, a good paraphrase, A, looks completely different from the original in both vocabulary and sentence structure, that is, words and grammar. If you just change a few words to synonyms, that's not enough. That would still be plagiarized. Secondly, a good paraphrase repeats only a few common or important words, and never more than three or four words together. Now, of course, your challenge is to know which words are okay to repeat and which belong to the original text. That's hard. It will come with experience and with more reading. Next, a good paraphrase has exactly the same ideas as the original, and it does not have any new ideas or your opinions. You save that for your own analysis and interpretation later. Finally, you must acknowledge the source with the correct citation for your discipline. So, how can you write a good paraphrase? Well, there are different techniques, but here's the method that I recommend. First, read the original several times. Make sure you understand it fully. One reason that you are expected to paraphrase at a university is it shows that you really understand the source material. Next, take notes on the points you want to paraphrase on another sheet of paper. Don't write sentences at this stage, just take notes. Third, you're going to look up synonyms for the key words, words with a similar meaning, and go to your dictionary for this. Now, close your book or turn over the original. And this is the most important step. Write your paraphrase without looking at the original. Write your paraphrase from your notes. If you look at the original, you may be tempted to copy from it, and that's no good. Okay, when you've finished your paraphrase, check it against the original. Is it different in vocabulary and structure, but the same in content? And if it's not, you need to revise it. And finally, of course, add the citation in the correct format. Okay, let's look at an example now and give you a chance to practice. Here's an extract from a textbook for international students in the US. It's called The Accent of Success. Please read this original several times, and then try to write a paraphrase of your own. Click the pause button under the video, it should be under my head, to stop the presentation. Click the same button when you've finished writing, and we'll continue. If you want to review the steps of paraphrasing, click on the previous slide from the preview bar on underneath the video, the list of slides. So, now please click pause, write your paraphrase, then click play, and I'll see you on the next slide. Off we go. Okay, welcome back. Well, I hope you had a chance to write a paraphrase of that. Now I'm going to show you two attempts to paraphrase the text. And I'd like to ask you, are these good paraphrases or is this plagiarism? Again, please pause the presentation, read the examples, decide if they're paraphrases or plagiarism, and then click play to continue, and I'll explain what I think. Okay, so click pause now, please. Well, here's the answer. As you can see, they're both unacceptable. They would both be considered plagiarism, and I hope you could see that. Let me explain why. In the first example, the writer has used too much of the original text. I've marked in blue all the words and phrases that the writer has taken from the original. There's also no citation, so this is clearly plagiarism. Example two is more complex, I think. The writer here has changed many words to synonyms, and I've marked all the synonyms in green. But the sentence structure and the organization of the ideas are exactly the same as the original. So this is also plagiarized. Okay, it's just like translating it, and it's not enough. If your paraphrases look like either of these, you've used too much of the original language, or you've just changed words to synonyms, then you may want to revise your paraphrase now, and you can pause the presentation if you want to work on that. On the next slide, I'll show you an example of a good paraphrase. Okay, here's my attempt to paraphrase the text, and I think this is okay. I'll read it out to you. I'll read the paraphrase. According to Shiri Evan Boyd, 2008, that's your citation, the negative impression of Americans in many other countries has two sources: their own behavior abroad, which sometimes seems to confirm existing negative stereotypes, and movies which present stereotypical, not real, Americans. This, in particular, is unfair and undeserved. Okay, I think this works because I've changed the ideas, the order of the ideas, but not the content. I've used different sentence structures, I've changed most of the words. The citation format is correct in the APA style, used in social sciences, which allows me to put the name at the beginning and the page number at the end. What do you think about this one? Pause the presentation if you need more time to read the example and compare it to your own. Well, finally, here are some tips for writing a successful paraphrase. Remember, you don't have to paraphrase the ideas in exactly the same order as the original. In fact, it might be better not to. One way to do this is to look at the original text backwards. Okay, paraphrase the last idea first, and so on. Have a look at the voice of the original. That means passive or active. If the original is in the active, try making your paraphrase passive. Excuse me, if the original is passive, try making it active. You can see in my example, I took the phrase, Americans are portrayed in movies, that's passive, and made it active. Movies represent Americans as. Next, I recommend thinking about changing the category of important words. This really, really helps. For example, change verbs into nouns, adverbs into adjectives. So in the original, the authors wrote, Americans are viewed negatively, verb plus adverb, and I paraphrased that as the negative impression of Americans. That's an adjective plus a noun. If you're going to use synonyms, and you do have to use synonyms, use them carefully. You'll probably need a good English-to-English dictionary to make sure your synonym has exactly the right meaning. And my final tip is this. If you have questions about using the correct style guide for your field, how to cite, how to list the references, I really recommend you contact your librarian. They can really help you. If you're at UNC, go and check out your library for your field and ask them for some help learning the citation style. Well, that's all for this presentation. Thank you very much for watching this first English Language and American Culture online presentation. We'd like you now to take a quick survey to evaluate the presentation. Tell us what you liked and what you didn't like. The web address is on the screen, and it's also on the web page where you found the link to this presentation. Please go to that website, take the quick evaluation. Your feedback is very valuable to us. For more information about other English Language and American Culture services at the UNC Writing Center, please visit our homepage. The address is also on your screen. This has been an ELAC online presentation, a service of the Writing Center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I'm Nigel Kaplan, and I hope to see you again online or in person very soon. Bye-bye.